Good morning. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. This morning we are in Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 to 23, at the commandment of the Lord, how the children of Israel moved when the cloud or the fire moved, whether by day or by night. And when it rested, they camped. It's a lesson to us that as the Lord guided the children of Israel, so too He leads us all the way through our journey in this life. The hymn is 505, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me."
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. From the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love, perfect rest to me His promise in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed in mortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Amen. And as the cloud and the fire were the guide to Old Testament Israel, the Word of God and the Spirit of God are that which guides us in our journey. The hymn is number 80.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His death. To you He has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Fear not, I am with thee, oh, be not dismayed. I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand. Upheld by my righteous omnipotence. press and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy coal to refine. Thy dross to consume and thy coal to refine. Lean thou to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adore, thy glance they shall still in my bosom be born. Like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
The cloud and the pillar were a tangible evidence of God's presence, God's blessing, and God's direction for the lives of the ancient Hebrews. But His Word is that which guides us. Through meditation upon His Word, through prayer, through dependence upon the enlightening of the Holy Spirit of God, we are guided. The prophecy of Jeremiah was that He would write His law in our hearts and upon our minds. Thy word have I hid in my heart. The hymn is 671.
Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my travel ways, to guide and to save me from sin, and show me the heavenly way. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that
that I might not sin against thee, that I might not sin, that I might not sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Through him whom thy word hath foretold, the Savior and morning star, salvation and peace have been brought to those who have strayed afar. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
We do plan to conclude chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews this evening, but stay tuned to your emails this afternoon. Since we're no longer using the iPad here, we've lost the ability to host the Zoom meeting with our phones, so we're going to have to reissue a new meeting number and password, so stay tuned for that. Please stand. We're going to ask Dan to read this passage this morning. It's Numbers 9, verses 15 to 23.
And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of testimony. And at evening there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the illuminating presence of your Spirit to guide us, to direct us through the storms of life. We thank you for how you have promised to be with us always. Even as you guided the children of Israel, you've promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. We pray that you would help us to discern your will, even as the Old Testament Israelites looked for the fiery pillar or the cloud to direct their path. We pray that you would help us to seek out your word, to submit to it, to do your will in all things. We thank you for how you answer prayer. We thank you for your many blessings. We pray for the health needs of those around us. We think of Melanie as she is in the hospital. We think of Jeanette with her breathing difficulties. We thank you for the ways in which you sustain us as the great physician. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. At the commandment of the Lord, that is a phrase that is repeated numerous times throughout this passage, and it's inferred in a number of other comments throughout the passage as well, that they kept the charge of the Lord, and also several times is repeated, and so it was. This is the result of their submission, the result of the Lord's guidance, and so it was. And thus we remember and we recognize the providence of the Lord in the journeys of the Old Testament Israelites into the promised land. But as the Apostle Paul reminded his hearers and his readers, that is first the natural and then the spiritual. And thus these Old Testament historical events recorded in the five books of Moses have a direct spiritual application to our journeys, the spiritual race, the spiritual warfare in which we are engaged. But the principle and the need for submission, the dependence upon the guidance of the Lord, is the same now as it was then. And it will remain for as long as the Lord tarries. But because the Bible assures us that He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever, we can be assured, like Moses and his people were in the Old Testament, that the Lord will remain with us, that as we submit to His guidance and His will, that He will lead us all the way. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and He will complete that work which He has begun in us. And thus we can rest assured, as the Old Testament Israelites did, that God was their guide and that our responsibility is to submit to His leadership, to submit to His will, and to do that which He has called us to do. And thus, at the commandment of the Lord is our guiding principle. It's the commandment that directs our steps. When the tabernacle was raised up, it was then that the cloud appeared. A cloud appeared by day, and a fire, the appearance of fire, shone at night. And this was observed numerous times throughout the Old Testament. At the completion of Solomon's temple, it was noted that the cloud appeared over the tent of testimony. There's some debate among theologians as to whether the cloud of the Lord signifying His presence covered the entire tabernacle, or whether it was primarily centered upon the region of the tabernacle, which was the holiest of holies. But regardless, it was the visible presence of the Lord, a manifestation of His presence among them, a sign of His protection, a sign of His guidance. It was observed at several times in the book of Exodus, and here cited again in Numbers chapter 9, that it was a sign of God's presence and blessing was evident in 1 Kings 8, as Solomon noted the descent of the cloud upon the completed tabernacle. And the departure of that cloud is noted in Ezekiel as the prophet foretold the departure of the visible manifestation of God's presence from the tabernacle because of the repeated and willful disobedience of the children of Israel. Just before they were carried off into captivity in Babylon, the cloud was removed. The visible manifestation of God's presence and blessing among them was taken away. And it never again returned. Even though they returned from the captivity according to Jeremiah's prophecy after 70 years, there was no longer the visible appearance of the cloud to guide them, to show the protective hand upon them. But the cloud did reappear. In the New Testament, there were various manifestations of the cloud as a sign of God's presence, God's power, God's guidance. In Luke 9, the account of the transfiguration, as the Lord and the three disciples ascended the mountain and met with Moses and Elijah, it was in the cloud that was described as the manifestation of God's presence with them, from which they heard the voice of God. "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." And at the time of the Lord's ascension, it was again the appearance of the cloud. He ascended up into the cloud, signifying his return to the right hand of God the Father. We're told here in this passage that by day the appearance was a cloud, and by evening it was a fire. This had a couple of applications. Psalm 121 makes reference to the protective cloud of God's presence, which shades us from the sun. Isaiah, in multiple references also, speaks of the cloud as God's protection for his people. It was that which shaded them from the heat of the sun as they wandered during that 40 years in the wilderness. But it's described by nighttime as a fire, that which illuminated their camp, that which protected them from enemies. Wild animals are by nature fearful of fire. And there were numerous instances throughout the Old Testament where during the pursuit of the children of Israel by the Egyptians, that the fiery pillar shielded them from the planned attacks of the Egyptian army. It was that which gave them time to cross the parted waters of the Red Sea. And then after they had safely crossed on dry ground, the fiery pillar was removed. The armies of the Egyptians pursued and were destroyed as the waters fell. So this cloud by day and fire by night is a signifying evidence of the concern, the compassion, the provision, the protection, and the guidance of God for his people. We read that as it moved, they moved. And as it stopped, they camped. This was repeated continually during that 40 years of the wandering in the wilderness. It was a wandering which was prompted by their initial reluctance to follow the will of the Lord into the land that he had promised them. Moses had sent the spies into the land. And while Caleb and Joshua returned with the glowing reports of the bounty and the blessings that awaited them in the land, the rest of the spies were fearful. They saw only the giants and the heavily fortified cities, and they stirred up fear in the hearts of the people and caused many of them to wonder whether they could conquer and whether they could occupy this promised land. And we live in a world full of fear. There are those who attempt to manipulate our fears to prevent us from doing the will of God. There are governments which seek to squash the freedom to proclaim the good news of the gospel to those who need it. And we are involved in a journey through wilderness in this fallen world full of sin. We, like the ancient Hebrews, are dependent upon the guidance, upon the provision, upon the protection of God for the duration of our journey until we safely arrive at the promised land, that celestial city. As the cloud moved, they moved. As the cloud paused, they camped. And this is a token of the leadership, the guidance that God provides for his people. He had told Moses and the Israelites that he would go before them, that he would lead them, that he would guarantee their safe passage. And we have Christ's promise as well, that he has gone before us, that he has ascended to heaven, that he has gone to prepare a place for us. And when he arises from that throne and returns in glory and judgment, he will take us to be forever with him. In the interim, if we cease to exist, if we die during our present time, the Bible assures us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And this then is our state until that glorious day when he returns, at which point the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are yet alive will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, and thus we shall be forever with the Lord. The cloud and the fire were the visible manifestation of God's guidance for them. And as it raised, they moved. As it stopped, they stopped and they camped. They never knew at what time of the day the cloud would arise and move forward. They never knew at what time at evening it would stop. And we read here in this passage that there were some times when they were caused to travel by night, other times by day. And not just a predictable time clock. Rise up at 7 a.m. in the morning and stop traveling at 5 p.m. at night. No, it didn't work that way. God's guidance was direct and immediate. It required that they remained alert to the leadership, to the guidance of God. He had told them that when the cloud moved, they should move. And when the cloud stopped, they should stop. And we read here that at whatever time of the day or night, so they did. So it was. They obeyed the commandment of the Lord. They kept the charge of the Lord. A charge in this sense is an instruction. It's their operating procedure. It's the will of God for the ways in which they should live their lives during that 40 years in the wilderness. And we have His instructions. Some people make reference to the Bible as an acronym. That B-I-B-L-E means basic instructions before leaving earth. It is the revelation of God's character. It's the revelation of our sin and our need for a Savior. It contains Christ from the first book of Genesis to the 22nd book, the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. This revealed word, the complete, inerrant word of God, is that which He has left for us to be our instructions for daily living. It is that which, as we read it, as we meditate upon it, as we prayerfully seek the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, we can gain discernment regarding God's will. We can gain an awareness of His presence and His blessing in our midst as we worship together and in our daily lives as we spend time in personal or family devotions. As we meditate upon His Word, as we seek His wisdom, He will guide us, He'll lead us, and He will safely deliver us to the destination which He has promised to His people, even as He did the Old Testament Israelites. This passage tells us that they never knew for how long they would be journeying, for how long they would stay at a particular place. Sometimes it was 2 days, sometimes it was a month, and sometimes it was a year until they were called to move. And some say that the reference to a year did not necessarily mean 365 days as we No, it actually, in the Hebrew calendar, a year was 360 days. But even that was, according to some Hebrew linguistics scholars, sometimes the reference to a year was an idiom. It was that which signified a specified time. And thus, they were dependent upon the leadership of the Lord, whether it was 2 days that they would stay in a particular place, whether it was a month, or whether it was a longer period of time, even arguably a year, that the Spirit of the Lord, the cloud or the fire, directed whether they should go or whether they should stay. This was a reminder to the Old Testament Hebrews that they were dependent upon the leadership, upon the guidance of God for how they should live their daily lives. And thus, the same principle exists today. They were warned against tradition. Yes, indeed, the Scripture tells us to hold fast to the things that remain. But just as the Hebrews were cautioned against tradition, doing things the way it's always been done, so too, we are reminded that it is God who directs our paths. He directs our steps. Down through the history of the church, there has been many who have attempted to hold on to the things that were done just because that's the way they always did them. This led to a controversy among the churches of the Middle Ages. There were many who believed that because the Old Testament emphasized the Psalms, and because the early church sang primarily hymns that were adapted from the Psalms, then that was the abiding principle forever, that no other hymns were to be sung. And we know the debate between Isaac Watts and his father, the desire of young Isaac Watts to write biblically based hymns, and the resistance of many to changing from the way it had always been done. And yet today, we have hymns that have been used for the last 200 or 300 or 400 years, which are wonderful representations of biblical truth. That's not to say that we can't still sing hymns that are based primarily upon the Psalms. A good number of our hymns are drawn directly from Psalms. But the hymns in our hymnal can serve in many respects as a devotional in themselves. For if we take the time to meditate upon the many stanzas in many of these hymns, we can find a direct extraction from the Word of God in the truths that they relay to us. The Old Testament scriptures were copied copiously by scribes as they wrote upon parchments and upon leather skins. In the 15th century, there was a vast improvement in technology, the Gutenberg press. And thus the Word of God became immediately available in print to many who previously did not have access to the printed Word. Even that was resisted by many. There were governments, there were so-called church authorities, which sought to restrict the distribution of the printed Bible to their people, thinking that they could remain more in strict control if it was they and they alone who interpreted the scriptures. They feared the availability of the Word of God to the masses because of their fear that those people would read it and understand it for themselves by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And thus, down through the ages, people have been resistant to the will of the Lord. Throughout the Old Testament, we read during those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness of the stiff-necked generation, the obstinacy, the stubbornness, the disobedience that was manifested at times among the people of Israel. There were times when they yearned for the safety and security of the times in captivity in Egypt. And we wonder how it was possible that they could have yearned for slavery rather than the direct manifestation of God's presence in their midst as He led them into a land that He had promised to provide for them. But such is the case today. There are many people today who willingly surrender the freedoms with which we have been blessed for some sense of security and peace that a government or that a health agency or that someone else might promise to provide for them. This is a reminder to us that we need to seek not the protection of Uncle Sam, not the protection and the security of those tangible things that we might enjoy in this life, but that we must surrender and submit to the direction, to the leadership, to the guidance, and the power of Almighty God. At the commandment of the Lord is, as it was, and ever shall be, the marching orders for God's people. Throughout the Old Testament and the New, he said repeatedly, I desire obedience more than sacrifice. And here we see the evidence of that submission. Numerous times throughout this passage, it emphasizes that they put aside their natural stubbornness, their tendency to go their own way, their natural inclination to follow their own wills. They did as the Lord commanded. They followed and kept the charge of the Lord. And so it was. When they submitted to the direction of the Lord, they received victories against overwhelming odds. They received manna to sustain them in their daily provision. They received water from the rock at various times when there was no natural means. When the hostile enemies, the Edomites and the Moabites and others, refused to sell them provisions and to allow them safe passage, it was God who guided them in a journey through dangerous territory, giving them victories over heavily armed cities, heavily fortified regions, and delivered them to that land which he had promised. He promises us likewise that as he will be with us always, even to the end of the age, that he will protect us through the storms of life. He will guide and direct us in our journeys, showing us the way. The fire was an evidence of his protection. It was the illumination. When the temple was constructed and they no longer had to move from place to place, the lamps were trimmed and were kept continually burning as a sign of God's enlightenment upon their worship, upon their habitation. And we, too, can look to the illuminating power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives as we strive to submit obediently to the Word of God. We are as dependent upon God's guidance and God's leadership and God's protection in this day as the Old Testament Hebrews were in their day. And as they ultimately were delivered into that land which God had promised them, they divided the land by lot. They settled in the regions that God had purposed for them. So too, we are told in Scripture that it is God who directs our steps. We purpose in our hearts. We have our wills. We have our natural abilities. But the Scripture reminds us that it is God who directs our steps. It is He who is our guide. It is He who is our protector. And thus, we can rest assured, if we are humbly and obediently following the direction of God, that we may receive his presence, an awareness of the relationship with him, and that we will experience his protection and his deliverance in all kinds of dangers, in all kinds of troubles, in all kinds of storms. And thus, like the ancient Hebrews, we can safely arrive at the promised land. It ought to be the desire of every Christian to hear those words on that great day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We read here that the Old Testament Hebrews did according to the commandment of the Lord. And that ought to be our desire for the summation of an account of our lives, that we too lived according to the commandment of the Lord, that we have kept the Lord's charge for our lives. They did according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Moses had been appointed to lead them. He was accountable to God for the guidance, for the protection, and he recognized that great responsibility. Indeed, he had delegated some authority in terms of the decisions, in terms of the judgeship of the debates and the controversies among the Hebrews. His father-in-law had cautioned him about trying to do it all himself. And thus, the New Testament church exists with a plurality of elders, not solidifying authority in the hands of one individual. The plurality principle has guided the New Testament church since its earliest days, and it ought to be retained as the principle for the administration of the daily operation of the assembly of God's people. According to the commandment of the Lord. Again, it's the commandment of the Lord. It's the revelation of his principles, his purpose for the lives of his people. Down through the centuries, churches have summarized their beliefs, their practices in creeds, and in various documents which affirm those things that they hold true. But the fundamental foundation which guides the New Testament church of the Lord Jesus Christ is his revealed word, the Bible. And that must always be the focal point of our consideration of what is true. Recently, some of you may have heard Andy Stanley, the son of the famous preacher Charles Stanley. And Andy Stanley is a preacher as well, but over the years he has stirred up many controversies with some of his deviations from historical Christian practice and belief. And recently he said that we are not dependent upon 66 ancient manuscripts for our truth. That is a very dangerous concept, because even the Lord himself, during his earthly ministry, referred constantly to the authority of scriptures, to the revelation of the Word of God. And as we are told that every word of Scripture is inspired by the Spirit of God, written for us by holy men and prophets, in the words of the Apostle Peter, we cannot flippantly dismiss the authority of the Word of God. These 66 ancient books, which form a unity of God's revelation, which contain the evidence of God's providence and God's purpose, God's character, and our lack of character, our need for a Savior, indeed the gospel message itself. If we throw out Scripture, then we are defying the will of God. Yes, we are challenged, even as the Apostle Paul charged those to be like the Bereans, to daily search the Scriptures to make sure that what they heard from the pulpit was true. So too, we must look not to the authority or to the rhetoric, to the fluency of anyone's words, but we are challenged to evaluate truth based upon the revealed Word of God. We, like they, must recognize that the Scriptures themselves are the key to a knowledge of God, to learning more about Jesus. More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show. The hymn is 676. Bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. May His countenance be lifted up and give you peace. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Do we have any thoughts this morning regarding at the commandment of the Lord?
The appearance of fire by